the PNB Finance Committee meeting for August 2nd. I'm Marnie Tattersall, the chair. Casey McFaul is our secretary. I'd just like to say a few words because I'm chair pro temming just for the one day. Thank you for inviting me to sit in as chair today. I enjoy working with all of you. While I'm a new acting chair in this environment, I've been there in other situations and would like to openly share my views on the chair's role. They're simple. As chair, I think my role is to keep the focus on the agenda and try to steer toward consensus. As chair, I believe that I should speak as little as possible and use my best efforts to create room for balanced dialogue. Thank you all in advance for helping me keep our proceedings balanced and effective today, and I will appreciate your feedback after the session. So, that said, I had sent out the proposed agenda on Sunday, and I have not received any changes to it. So, Casey, do you mind taking the roll call, please?
I'd be happy to. Dave Adelson?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Baruti Bediako?
Here.
Patty Heffley?
Here.
Casey McFaul is here. Mark Roberts?
Here.
Marnie Tattersall?
Here.
Jane Gatewood?
Here.
Sandy Weinman? LaVarne Williams? And Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
We have a quorum.
I'd just like to mention that Ambrose Lane is on this call as well.
Thank you.
So approval of the agenda would be next. Did anybody have any changes? Hopefully I don't need to read it for benefit of anyone that might be listening now or later. Any changes or amendments or about the
This is Patty.
Yes.
It would be possible to quickly run over the topics in order because our listening audience might be interested in one thing or another, or, you know, and I'm not at my computer, so I don't remember it completely.
Okay.
Thank you.
So after approving the agenda, we'll excuse absences. Then we will approve minutes. We've got hopefully 3 minutes from the 15th, the 21st, and the 29th of July. Then we start the meat of our agenda, which is a continuing of the report back from the Working Group on Immediate Financial Needs, hoping we can spend about 45 minutes on it. Lonnie has been leading this discussion. Lonnie agreed to provide us on August 2nd today with cash flow projections, which he has emailed to us. And Lonnie is in the process of working on presenting point 3 of the 4 or so points that the working group had come up with about immediate financial needs. Ben, if there are any motions regarding any recommendations of the committee on this subject. Then the next item, fiscal year 06 budget process, status, guidelines, due dates, hopefully about 30 minutes on that. Then an update on the director's inspection from Patty and LaVarne. Then discuss the status of working groups and schedule. Schedule our next meeting and adjourn. Have it. Any changes, movements on the agenda?
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the agenda.
Any objections?
There is a couple of issues about KPFK, some questions, but I think we can deal with that during the FY06 thing. If those can be heard then, that would be appreciated.
Okay. I'll make a little note here. So agenda is approved then, hearing no objection. If we could excuse the absences, please. We have 3 absences today. Anyone want to move to excuse or not excuse any of our 3 absences? Do you need Casey to tell you? And I'm hoping that they'll join us a little later, but formally I was going to suggest that we should excuse or not these absences.
I move that we excuse everyone but LaVarne.
This is Dave.
Just joking.
All right, so we're excused.
This is Dave. May I be recognized?
Yes, please, Dave.
We talked about this at our LSB meeting. Absences should be excused for people who have written in and said, I can't make it. for whatever reason and notified. Otherwise, I don't think it's appropriate to excuse.
All right. So I've not received any notifications of anyone missing today. I don't think anyone else has either. So what's the will of the body?
I would move to move the agenda.
Okay. So now we're on the minutes, please, Casey.
Yes, you've all been sent minutes for the last three meetings, which were July 15th, July 21st, and July 29th. I don't know if you want to take them one at a time.
This is Jane. I'd like to move that we adopt them all.
This is Dave. I've got comments on several.
I amend my motion that we adopt July 15th.
Hey, Dave, I have a comment on July 15th.
All right.
Go ahead, Dave.
There's a motion by Weinman that the NFC recommend the PMB approve a national day of fundraising to address network financial issues. There was a substitute motion which was withdrawn, but no indication of how the original motion was disposed of.
Yes, that's true. I don't think the original motion was disposed of.
So there should be some comment to that effect in the minutes. Otherwise, there's no...
It's just hanging there.
Right.
Yeah, what do we want to say? That the meeting was adjourned without resolution? Or what do we want to say?
I don't know, because not having listened to the meeting, my recollection was that... you may want to add the motion was not acted on.
Motion was not acted on. Does everybody feel good about that?
No action was taken on the motion by Weinman.
Well, wasn't there a sort of a consensus to have the working group look at it?
Well, that's what ended up happening in the next meeting. Yeah, if you look at the next meeting minutes, Mark had the proposed that there be motion by Roberts that the NFC form a working group to develop a plan to address the current fiscal crisis. I had originally thought that happened in that meeting, but it's in the July 21st. So maybe it was, you know, I think what happened was
Sandy's motion was regarding fundraising, and then there was a substitute motion about the working group, which was withdrawn by the maker, and then we adjourned. So the next week, the motion for the working group was brought again and was passed.
So then, Casey, can't we just put that line that, you know, we would adjourn without taking action and then that
Good
would
with
take
me.
Care?
Good with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be the only concern, right?
Right.
Okay, got
and
that
you
one.
And you could even note that in that minute that, I mean, I don't know if it's appropriate, but you might be able to note that in the subsequent meeting, the other motion was reconsidered or was taken again and passed.
Okay.
Hello, I think someone joined us.
Yes, it's LaVarn. Hi, how are you?
LaVarn, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going over the minutes. We've just made a small adjustment to the 7:15:05 minutes, and if there's no further discussion, we'll move to 7:21 minutes.
There is one other point. Under attendance, I think it should be noted that Ambrose Lane is not a committee member. He's attending as acting ED, as a guest of the committee.
Hi, this is Teresa. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Teresa.
And that same thing about about Ambrose should be reflected in the in the other minutes as well.
Okay. Are there any other changes to 7:21?
Oh, that was 7:15.
Right. Okay, so are we taking these one at a time?
I think we're now ready to move with no objection to taking those two things, which was we're going to add words to 7:15, which is motion was not acted on. in subsequent meeting, it was dealt with or some language like that, and note that Ambrose is in attendance as the interim ED. So if there's no objection to those words being entered into the minutes, can we consider that they're approved as amended?
So moved.
I second. Well, you don't need to say, but I think that's what it sounds like we did.
All right, great. So on to the 7:21:05 minutes. Are there any changes to 7:21 minutes?
Dave?
Yes, Dave?
The same thing for Ambrose.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, hearing no further changes, we'll amend those minutes and approve them as amended to note that Ambrose was in attendance. And Ambrose, we really appreciate your attendance. It's a great honor to have you here. Now we're going to move to July 29, which is our meeting that we had on this past Friday.
Dave?
Yes, Dave.
So same thing for Ambrose. Also, Roy Campanella was present as a guest of the committee. The main one, under approval of agenda, it says agenda approved with no objections. There was actually a motion by Hicks to move item 4 after item 6, and we voted on that. Was not approved, and then the agenda was approved. There was also an addition, which was to add the director's inspection report after item 6 before scheduling the next meeting.
Sorry about that.
Are there any other changes, amendments? Okay, can we approve the 7:29 minutes as amended with the...
Oh, wait, there is one other thing. Sorry, I just found it. Where it says Marnie Tattersall will serve as chair pro tem at the next meeting, that was my motion. I'd like it reflected.
There's no changes. Can we approve these minutes as amended and get on with the meat of our meeting?
I'm ready for the meat.
All right, let's rock and roll. So we're continuing with the report back from the working group, and Lonnie is was speaking when we left off, and he was pretty much on point number 3, as I recall, which had to do with the national office mailing and or emailing to raise rainy day funds and archive funds in the fall as one of the immediate financial need options.
Well, shall I pick it up there, or is that going to work for everyone? Okay. Well, okay, I would like to double back to item number 1, but maybe I'll just finish off the thought here. There were essentially 5 items that the working group looked at, and they related to 3 proposals, and I'm saying this for the benefit of those who are listening on the air. And let me just, if I could, just recap those for people who weren't, you know, listening to the last Finance Committee meeting. As a working group of the Finance Committee, we went to look at what kinds of options we could develop that would address financial needs that were surfacing around the network at various stations. And the idea was, look at all of the emerging financial needs and come away with some strategies. The group met twice and then did develop some 3 proposals or 3 options. One of them was to explore a short-term line of credit to meet some of the needs that were identified. Many of the needs we have had been put on the table, I guess, over six, seven, 8 months. I think it was in New York. I did a presentation around financial issues, which I described as a perfect storm. And they revolve around our capital needs, increasing costs, flat revenue. I won't go over it again. But then one of the important new developments was WBAI was looking at a drive where they were not able to meet that a goal and they were short $400,000. By the way, I'm told that in a follow-on drive by the WBAI, had reached $487,000. Congratulations to WBAI.
And
yay.
Their target was $325,000?
Yeah, they were looking for $325,000, and I'm told, Baruti, probably Patty, but $487,000, and that is a case of don't underestimate New York. That's very, very good news. The second proposal, aside from a line of credit, was to look at synchronizing drives in October to raise funds, and the number that I placed on the table was between $300,000 and $500,000 we were looking for, and that it would be a case where each station in their drive would add 2 days at the beginning of the October drive or 2 days at the end of the October drive. None of these ideas are exclusive. All three can be tried. And the third major idea was to have a companion mailing from the coordinator from the national office using a theme like raising rainy day funds and funds for the archive to occur in September, around the middle of September. So the idea around the line of credit was that the line of credit would be strictly controlled. There would be the ability of stations to borrow, but with strict guidelines and strings, which is to say that if the money were used, there would be conditions set on any changes that a station might have to make in terms of bringing the station in balance as far as budget is concerned, and maybe some other changes. Nothing specific around that area. The issue on the line of credit was whether or not there would be collateral. Marty and I did talk with Wells Fargo. We did get some preliminary indications from Bank of America on what the cost would be. Both are looking at an uncollateralized loan, which is to say would be secured by our APs, that is our payables rather than our property, which is very good. And seven and a quarter, 7.5% would be the interest rate we're looking at, along with some other perks that you negotiate when you're dealing with banks, you know, whether or not to have a sweep account, prepayment penalties, whether or not what kind of decision maker you're dealing with, limits of those particular.
Excuse me, could you repeat those? They went too fast for me.
Well, in looking at a line, there are many times, you know, some complex negotiations that go on. You want to know, is there a prepayment for your line of credit so that you're not penalized and stuck with a penalty for paying early? You want to know if you attach checking, can you get a sweep account, which is, say, sweep all unused funds into an account where your normal bank charges would be reduced as opposed to being kept separately. We checked into their checking, checked into their ability to provide that service, and if so, at what cost. We want to compare it to the bank charges that we're currently paying. As you recall, our bank charges are high at Pacifica, and we were interested in seeing what the banks might be offering ways to reduce our costs in that area. Okay, that summary is complete. Let me just go now to focus on item number 2, which is the national office mailing. And the questions that come around is, well, if you did a mailing from the national office, would it be one that would be where a mailing would hit the local station mailing list? The answer would be no. We would be looking at all acquisition mailing, that is to say, the mailing lists of other progressive organizations, ones we've used over the past year or so, with the exception of the archive. The archive mailing list would be, in this case, used for archives, which would be part of the mailing, because we had planned to do that with them in any event. We do mailings from the national office in the last year, 3 or so, and we were offering this one and have it be one in the name of all the needs of all the stations, as opposed to what we had originally planned for it to be. And I think that the track record on the mailings to a national group, that is, last year or so, static is, I'm holding, there you go, I didn't speak because of the static, you didn't miss anything. Anyway, what we've discovered is that there are 8,000-9,000 people out there who like national initiatives, like the idea of supporting national efforts from Pacifica. That includes some of our affiliates as well. So the idea, we were looking for a theme, and one theme that I think Mark had proposed, that it be themed rainy day fund, and proposed that funds be raised for a rainy day fund as well as an archive. Other people have different ideas, different themes. Nothing was decided. So the three ideas, just to sum up, explore in terms of a strategy, ones that are short-term. That is, a short-term strategy in this case would be the revolving loan fund, because we're looking at 30, 45 days. And that was a question. Well, how much do we really need? What does the cash flow report say? And so I've spent time amalgamating from the various stations what their ending cash positions are going to be. And I did try to send that around to let you know. The short version, and I won't go into that detail unless there's a demand. The short version is that at September 30th, most stations will not have 1 month in cash for the in relation to the 1 month proviso that we have asked stations to do. And we need the 1 month at September 30th because the next month there's no income in September usually, or it's very small. And those funds are needed to tie the station over in the month of September and also in the following month of October. Bottom line, I'll just read them quickly and I won't go into them in detail. Bottom line is that we would be short in the network $347,000. For comparison, at September 30th, 2004, the network had at September 30th $1,612,000 in cash in the bank. And those numbers are viewable on our on the Pacifica.org website in the audit. At ending cash that we're now projecting, talking to each station, the cash would be only about $1,265,000, a reduction in cash of $347,000 for the network as a whole. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means we have less cash at September 30th on projection than we had last year. Well, does it matter? Well, it matters, sort of. Let's go over each station quickly. Now, what I, way I've done it here, and there are lots of ways to do it, and I sort of thought about it, ways to present a cash report. There's lots of different ways you can look at it. But I chose the simplest one, which is to look at how much cash each station had at the beginning of the year, because you do not want to confuse cash that a station had at the beginning of the fiscal with cash it generated during an accounting year, to keep those operating results separate. So each year is considered starting over again. And so what I did is show the beginning cash for each entity and how much they ended, how much cash they ended the fiscal with. And just to go down the list, and then I'll just give a quick point, make a couple of quick points, and I'll move on. PRA began at cash at 9:30:04. They had $95,000. At 9:30:05, we're projecting they will be in need of cash of $45,000, negative $45,000. Why? Well, some of the central service funds said they were going to be getting from WBAI and other stations will not be forthcoming. It puts them in a cash-sensitive situation. Same thing for national office. $35,000 is the figure for the national office. KPFA in 04 had $753,000 in beginning cash, $700,000 of which was from prior years. $53,000 had been generated during the 04 period. They will end the fiscal with $831,000. That is, they will have increased their cash by $78,000 to $88,000. I know their last drive figures just today show that they're only $18,000 away from their goal for this summer drive. But on the year, KPFA will have increased its cash by $88,000. Now, that's great. It sounds good, but there's a problem. And the problem is that at September 30th, if you have $88,000, where will you get the funds that you need for the following month in October, or, for that matter, the one-month proviso? Well, you might have to borrow it from those very same prior year operating. And that number and those numbers are in the income statements published every month, down in cash and capital. You'll see what the budget is, surplus from prior year. So this was budgeted for most stations. They knew they had to use their savings account, for want of a better phrase, to get through this last fiscal. And we see the impact of that at the end of this fiscal. KPFT, there will be negative, I'm sorry, KPFK, they had $397,000 in 04. They will end, we believe, 2005, that is to say September 30th, $532,000, a cash increase of $134,000. That's good, but they're probably their monthly expenses are $317,000. They, too, might have to look to use some of those funds to get through October, although, of course, in October, everybody's raising money. And that will not be all clear, so I'm making it clear.
Can I ask a question, quick question, Lonnie?
Yeah.
For example, with KPFK, cash $932,000, but you said the monthly expenses are $300,000+. So it looks like they have enough to cover their 1 month expenses plus $232,000.
Yep.
I'm not following what you're saying. In other words, when you say the ending cash at 9/30/05 is $532,000, that looks like they have a 1 month reserve plus $200,000 and some.
Yeah, it looks that way.
What am I not getting?
Well, yeah, it looks that way. But you see that if your savings account for the last 5 years has accumulated $500,000, for example, and this is what happened. They started $197,000 in the bank from prior years. So,
but I'm assuming that October 2004 they had the same issue where they had to spend approximately $300,000 of that in October 2004. So by giving us a snapshot like this, 9/30, it looks like you've made it pretty easy for us to follow, except for that what you're saying doesn't correspond with what this appears to be.
Well,
may I speak, Madam Chair? Dave?
Certainly, Dave. Did Lonnie need to answer Jane before Dave?
I'd like to follow on with what she said, because if I may, what I here is the same thing, Lonnie, because when you're saying that they have this money in the bank, you're treating it as though it was something different, but that actually is the 1 month plus whatever surpluses they have. So when you say, well, yeah, they'll get additional funds, the point is that reserve at the beginning of every year, we've agreed on previous calls that the 1 month reserve policy does not require every station to generate 13 months of revenue in every 12-month period, only to have a 1 month in reserve, which means savings, at the end of the fiscal to carry them through that period where they're waiting to get their next fund drive thing, which is actually something that goes on the year round. You need the cash to get you to your next fund drive. So when it's said that KPFK has an ending balance of 532 and monthly needs of 317, I agree that what that means is that we have a 1 month reserve as required plus 200 and some odd thousand over that as surplus. And similarly, KPFA has their needs covered. Some of the others don't. But that's my understanding is exactly what Jane's is.
Well, let me try again to explain it a slightly different way. This is how it looks at September 30th, 2005. But what I have been cautioning and trying to point out is that 532 goes away in substantial dollars the very next month. Why? Because you only have $134,000 at September 30th, and your monthly bills in October are $317,000, $318,000. Now, what is it going to mean? It means that 532, the very next month, will be drawn upon by $184,000 to make up the difference. So that 134 and minus 317 is $183,000 that you will have to take from your ending balance of 532. Now, that's just the first step. So that 532 is no longer 532, because you're going to borrow from it to pay the bills in October.
Right, but so, you pay it back.
Wait a minute. Yes, that's what they all figure. So everybody figures, no problem, we'll pay it back. Let me finish the scenario. So that 532 by October 30th is only 349, because you had to borrow $183,000 in order to pay October bills. So now you only have, at October 30th, $349,000. Now, the next shoe falls, because everybody says, well, we'll take any money we need out of the October drive, and we'll have some money in October, we'll use those funds to pay any differences. Now what you've done is you've used October monies to pay September bills, the prior fiscal. as the year goes on, that borrowing, if you look at January cash flow, continues. That does not go away. So your 532 starts to be reduced. First in October down to 349. By January, if you have a bad drive, by another 100,000. Pretty soon you won't have a month at the end of that fiscal year because you are using your savings. Now,
Lonnie, I still don't understand why the numbers you've given us for September 30, 2005 compared with September 30, 2004 aren't a simple, I mean, it looks like we're, by this projection, as a network, $347,000 in the deficit as compared with a year ago. And that looks like all there is to it. I do not understand at all. I mean, when you look at an individual station like KPFK, in October 30th, they had to, you know, they started out on October 1st with $397,000, and they had to spend almost $300,000 of it, I guess, for their October expenses. So why is it any different this year than it was last year? Aren't you really just giving us a perfect snapshot in time?
It's just a snapshot, but I'm saying look at the other stations. K is not the example.
Well, I know, but I mean, you know, that's why I started out by saying as a network, we see that we have lost almost $350,000,
yeah,
based on this projection. So that's straightforward.
Yeah, that should be clear to everyone.
Yeah, that's very clear.
Yeah, that's very clear. And K is not the example we should be using. What we should be focusing on is that some stations, in missing the drive goals they set for themselves, will have a deficit. Not only not every 1 month, but have an absolute deficit. That becomes an issue for the entire network. As you read down my chart, KPFT, you know, will be off what it wanted to have at the end of the fiscal by 125,000. WBAI will be off what it wanted by 250,000, although we may have to revise the numbers up a little bit to account for the new drive figures. And WPFW will have about 29,000 at the as part of their ending cash. So the network as a whole will be short the 347,000. And I caution again that 347 will grow 30 days later in October, might even double.
Madam Chair, may I ask?
Can I get on his back?
Yeah. I'll yield to Baruti, but may I speak after him?
Sure.
Patty too. Put Patty on the stack, please.
Okay, we'll have Baruti, Dave, and then Patty.
I'll yield to anyone who hasn't spoken yet.
Okay, two questions. The first, if I understood what you were saying, Lonnie, is the archives, you're saying that their deficit is somehow linked to shortfalls, you said BAI, what I would imagine, the shortfalls at other stations, did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, that is when any given station does not meet its revenue goals. Mm-hmm. Central service, therefore, goes down. And so their central service bill goes down. And quite rightly, they don't raise the revenue. They shouldn't have to pay the bill. But when a station also ends the fiscal year without that 1 month, they are going to have to root around to try to find a way to pay for that next month, October, because they didn't have it at September 30th. So they're going to figure out what are you going to do in October. It gets hidden. It's hidden because October starts to bring in revenue.
Right. Okay, well, on follow-up to the first part.
Yeah.
My understanding is that I'm not sure how archives is impacted by the station because I think it came up on a call recently that of the 20%, the 2.5% that we thought was, that was supposed to be going to archive, that's not going to archive.
Uh-huh.
Archive is standing on its own now.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't see how our shortfall, meaning it's going to impact archives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's answer that question.
And then I have another question on another issue, but go ahead, answer that first, please.
Well, it's true that the archives are not receiving directly those, right, the 2.5% national office. But what we do is we pay it right out to the archives. The income statement, if you look in the income statement down in the cash and capital section. What you'll see is a line item that says support to PRA. It's part of the national office budget. It's a national office unit. It's not a separate unit from the national office. And so those funds that come to us are directly paid out. And you can see the amount that we paid out to PRA, like $160,000. So those funds go out to the archives. So then you look at the PRA and national office, they're combined. Look at the PRA and the national office, then what this is saying, that on the cash level, it's close to $200,000, it's over $200,000. Now, why would the national office be short $1,000? Well, the reason it's short is because some of the revenue that we were anticipating is not going to be forthcoming. And therefore, we're going to have to tighten our belts. So what's in the $200,000? Well, $80,000 is going to be from the $400,000 drive that WBAI had. $400,000 they thought they were going to get. They didn't get it. 20% of the $400,000 is $80,000 that the national office won't get.
Right.
Also,
well,
in that $200,000 is other shortfalls, or that is to say revenues that the other stations thought they were going to get that they didn't get because some of the drives were down.
So how is, I'm not, because now I'm not clear about how Archives is funded. How is Archives funded? Is Archives responsible for raising its own money through the mailings and its day of on-air fundraising, or is Archives funded by disbursements from the national office?
Well, the way it was changed around 4 months ago, I mean 4 years ago, 5 years ago, was the decision was made that rather than have Archives be a flat tax on every station, that the funding mechanism for Archives would be changed. And the idea was that the Archives would see itself as being able to produce a profit and be moved toward a self-sustaining strategy. And that self-sustaining strategy was to include doing more mail drops, just as the national office. Remember, we had the same exact goal. We end up being too dependent on stations. The station has a bad drive. The national office is in crisis. Same thing with the Archives. They depend on the same funds. The idea was to develop strategies where the Archives were the products, they got real products, and the national office would not be solely dependent on stations and central service income. There is where the mail drop strategy began. And that was the mail drop strategy not only for the national office, but for the PRA as well. So the idea was, how can the national office and PRA reduce its dependence solely on station central services and station revenues when those revenues are volatile and stations may or may not be able to. Now,
but Lonnie, well,
okay,
sorry.
I'm not sure.
Don't give up.
But the answer
keep trying.
Wait a
minute.
My understanding last year, because that was when we really looked at it.
You're butting in there, pal.
Out of order, Mark. I'm sorry.
I had another question, too. But
all the funds come to the national office, and then they're redirected to PRA.
Is it that 2.5%, or you're doing a different? In other words, are you taking the 2.5% and giving it to Archives, or you're doing your own internal assessment of what Archives' needs are, and then you give them money and based on what you can afford?
No, they're part of the national office. The money we get from the Archives, I keep saying the same thing, that they can raise. We worked with them to raise money on the air, so that they will have additional sources of income and develop the ability to do that. They also were working with them to develop a mail drop. So the short answer to the question is, yes, we take all of the money coming right to the national office, then we sit down with the Archives and figure out a way not only to raise the money, to make sure they don't lose any funds, but we've worked with them to increase the amount of funds that they are able to work with. But if you look at those financials, you'll see that the amount of funds going to the Archives has increased by $300,000 over the last 4 years. Why? Because we've been able to look at additional funds to them and raise them via mail drop and raise them via on the air. And now we're looking at doing one in October, that's in September, for the same goals. Not the case that they have lost funds. If you look at their budgets, it's right up there on the website, what it was 3 years ago and what it is now, you'll see substantial increases. And that's because they have worked hard, and we have, to raise the extra funds they need to increase their budget. not to have it be flat and not to have it go down.
Madam Chair, can I get on the stack, please?
I have you on the stack. I've got Patty next, then Dave, then Mark.
Was Baruti finished?
No, I have, well...
Oh, go ahead, Baruti.
I'm going to need to... I have to digest that. But let me... I guess my key... My key question, the question I really wanted to get to was, what is the 1 month reserve for the whole network?
1.5 million bucks.
So if everything went according to plan, we should have at September 30th, 2005, 1.5 million.
Yeah, you know, last September 30th, that is October, September 30th, 2004, we did. We had 1.6 million.
Right.
And we did 1.6.
Okay, and is that in the, I should see that in the consolidated budget somewhere, right?
If you go to Pacifica.org,
mm-hmm.
Look at the audited statement for 2004, that's what you'll find, that this network had $1.6 million in the bank September 30th, 2004.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was the question I was asking was not what we had, but what do we need?
We need that 1.6, is what I'm saying.
So, okay.
It goes between 1.2 and 1.37.
Now, if you take the revenue and expenses of this network and divide by 12, you will find that that's what we need, about 1.4, 1.5 million. That's the cash we need to run run this network every month.
Okay. Thank you.
Then I have Patty.
Did you put me on the stack? This is
I did. I've got you after Mark.
Thank you.
This is Patty. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You were commenting about somebody commented that people, you know, the money around the network could maybe cover some of these things, and someone said, yeah, they could pay it back, and then you sort of laughed and says like they'll pay it back. So, can you tell me why they would pay a revolving line of credit back sooner than they would pay each other back, or what would be the difference, and wouldn't it be an increased expense due to, you know, the interest and things like that? I don't quite understand why. I don't understand that comment.
Is that my comment, Betty?
Yes, that was yours.
Was that today?
Yeah, was it just like a... Did anyone else hear it?
I heard it.
I heard it, but it wasn't in the context that you're framing it. It was in the context of the stations paying back the money they borrowed from themselves. Not from another station. In other words, if I have to dig into my money in order to get through the month of October and reduce my 1 month reserve, I will, through the course of the year, replenish that fund myself.
Yeah.
I don't understand really the difference. You know, if you have money in two cookie jars and you need it or not need it, you have to put it back. I don't understand if you're favorable to one cookie jar over the other one. I don't understand it.
So I'm understanding you correctly. You're asking the question, what's the difference between back to a line of credit and paying money back to anybody else, another station or what have you, or whatever?
Yourself.
Yeah, yourself, right? Is that right?
I'm not asking that. I'm asking that the comment that you made, that your feeling was that people wouldn't pay themselves. Okay, so themselves, they wouldn't pay it back, but then we're going to expect them to pay a line of credit back, a revolving line that could grow and grow if they didn't pay it back, right? Who's going to, I don't understand that, I don't understand the thinking, I don't understand it, that's all. Why would we pay back the revolving line of credit back before we would pay our own selves back?
Pay 7.5% interest on the line of credit that you use.
Yeah. So you would want to get that bill out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I see.
But that question, I don't know, Patty. One way, what stations actually do? Stations go into October, and what they do to make up the difference, it happens every year. This is not new. Every year, stations that are short of money, here's what they do. They don't have the full October, what do? They will take money from the October drive if they can wait until the end of October to get paid, but if they have to pay payroll in the middle of the month, which they do, then they will postpone bills. They just won't pay them and try to pay the bill in November rather than October. Some of them will take cash from their savings. That is to say, money that they earned in prior years, which is what we're talking about right here.
Others of them will look to make cost reductions once they realize the problem. Others of them will increase the drive numbers to the subsequent drives to make up the amount they didn't have in October. And that's precisely to extent what WBAI did. They said, okay, we're short on money at the beginning of the year. We might have to increase the drive totals to subsequent drives. That's what WBAI did. That's what KPFA is doing to a certain extent. Once you become aware of a shortfall, what do? So some of them increase revenue. Some of them take the cost reduction route. Some of them do a little bit of both. And some of them, and what I'm reacting to, is that when you start the process of dipping into your, quote, savings, into your prior year surpluses, and don't really have a plan to pay it back, and can't pay it back, or you have a plan where you're going to increase revenue beyond realistic goals, then something has to be said and pointed out. We want to know how many stations are doing it and how much does it come to. And that's what you have before you. You have how many stations will be doing it and how much it comes to. And we are asking the question, okay, what do we do once we understand the problem? Now, if all the stations have record drives in October, maybe we won't have a problem. I'm not guessing that's going to happen. It may be a worse drive, and this problem will be worse, not better. So it's getting harder and harder to raise money at Pacifica.
Well, then it's never going to pay to get a line of credit because we're just, with that sort of picture, we're just going to be going in debt because what you're saying is we're dropping off. So what we're really doing is starting to borrow money to stay alive, and possibly it might be better to, like, really have reasonable budgets. Like the new WBAI's budget, the one that was proposed, was more accurate, and we saw this coming over a year ago. So now to borrow money or to, you know, have these ideas like this seems to me a little too late, and I don't understand why then the network itself shouldn't hunker down and, you know, feel the price instead of the listeners and possible larger interest rates. We're already paying interest on legal bills that are, you know, all the time due, and, you know, money, we're over budget. So why would we start increasing this cost by having interest on borrowing a couple $100,000 or $300,000 or whatever you think that we need to borrow? So I'm just saying, I think we can figure out within ourselves a way to get over this. Otherwise, we're never going to learn either, and that's another point. We cannot keep asking people for things. We have to figure out within ourselves. Maybe don't give people raises. Maybe don't give people bonuses. Maybe don't get a consultant when you could hire somebody for less money. You know, these kind of things. But as long as it's an never-ending spigot of money, we never have to fix anything. We can just keep adding money until the place goes under. So that's just what the picture I see when I hear the kind of feeling like we could pay back a loan, when you're pointing to all the time is that we're losing money all the time. So I just want to keep that in mind when I make my decision about this, that it doesn't look like it's going to go up. So we could end up in a owing money and owing money and owing money, and that would be bad. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Dave next.
Yeah, several points. First, you know, what you're talking about going into what you're now calling savings is actually going into the 1 month reserve, which is created for that purpose. That was the argument for creating it. If you're saying that you want to, and that is not just an end of fiscal year phenomenon. That happens all the time. Stations have a cash reserve, and they go into it to pay it, to pay their existing expenses until they get to their next fundraisers. If you want a 1 month reserve at the date of the start of their October fund drive, then that is a change in policy that says let's have a 1.5 month reserve. But at end of fiscal, to suddenly call this, well, that's your savings, and now you're dipping into savings, when what it really is the 1 month reserve, is a real problem. And we can keep, you know, spending time on it, but it's clear to everybody else on the call, I'm sure, that that's what we're talking about. A couple things. I look in KPFK's budget in the consolidated spread. Oh, first of all, to answer what Baruti was asking, if you look at this year's consolidated budget and you look at the monthly actuals for the consolidated, the total expense line is on line 171. And for October last year, it was $1.17 million. For November, $1.27 million. For December, $1.18 million. For January, $1.28 million. For February, 1.21. For March, it leapt up to, I assume, perhaps that's when the increases in salaries happened. It leapt up to 1.36. So it looks like around 1.4 or so. Maybe that's going to be rising. But if I look at KPFK in that budget, if I look on the line that is surplus, prior year surplus, I see a zero there, but clearly it's not a zero. And the number that I see, so for KPFK surplus prior year, line 483 in that consolidated budget is zero all the way across, but according to these documents, we were not at zero. We had over a one-month reserve at that point. Surplus prior year for KPFA was listed at five, at actual was listed at negative 581, which I don't understand. And in general, these surplus prior year numbers are not corresponding. That may be the difference between cash and you know, total of payables, etc. But anyhow, I do think that that's a problem. The other issue, there was a question from Baruti. Why would low drive numbers at the stations leading to subsequent lowered central services payment impact the Pacifica Radio Archive? And the point is clearly that if it's not central services payments that are affecting the archives budget, you know, whether the national office is acting as a banker or not by loaning the money, et cetera, is not germane. The question is, what's their revenue source and why isn't their revenue matching? Then the last thing is, you mentioned that these numbers that you gave us in the cash flow may change when the recent excellent performance of WBAI's fund drive is incorporated. So it was slated to be 325. I think you said it's over 475, so that's 150,000 in pledges. If you assume it takes 2 months to get to 70% fulfillment, then that should be, what, 70 plus 35 is $105,000. So will these numbers improve by $105,000, which would basically put WBAI, instead of ending cash at negative 150, closer to negative 145, assuming no more fundraising whatsoever this year?
Well, that was a lot of questions in there. First of all, let's do surplus year. KPFA surplus prior year is zero. That budget in cash and capital is saying, Dave, that you do not plan to use any of your prior year to get through that fiscal. That's not true for other stations. If you look at that line,
so, I see. So surplus prior year doesn't actually list your prior year surplus.
Oh, it doesn't. It only lists what you plan to use from your prior year. In the case of K, you did not need to use prior year. Other stations did. How much? Close to $400,000. And that's in the cash and capital. That's why that section is there.
But if I may interject, then if that line is included, that line gets added into what your one-month reserve is. So if it's only what you're planning to use, that doesn't show up in your annual budgeting as being part of what your one-month reserve is. That's been moved over into a separate account and now has become some sort of surplus, and we're back to the notion of raising 13 months of revenue every 12.
Well, we've been going around and around on this issue.
Indeed.
Finance Committee for at least 2 years, where I hear you're totally convinced that there is actually 2 months being required of the station, and that somehow or other that's not being recognized.
No, we've agreed. You agreed that it's not the case. We have to do this, but it keeps...
You're interrupting me. Let me finish.
Pardon me.
And I'd like to put this to bed and not have to constantly have the same conversation, finance call after finance call. Now, You're utterly unconvinced. You seem to think that these... I've heard four theories about what's going on. Oh, it's really going to be 2 months cumulative. Does this look like 2 months cumulative to you? No. You had $400,000 in the bank at the beginning of the fiscal. You have $532,000 a year later. That's not... Those monies were monies you had beginning of the year. Now, accounting practice is you do not count prior year losses or profits in trying to identify current year outperformance. You have to segregate the two. You can't mix them together. That is what Enron did, and that's why Enron's execs are going to jail. You can't do that. You can't make your profit in 1 year look better than it really was by mixing it in with prior or other years. That's why I am saying you can't do that. Talk to an accountant. All of accounting is designed to show only the year performance, not prior year, not subsequent year, just a year. The whole system is set up that way. Okay, let's go to this prior year. I went to prior year. Yes, you don't have a budget that includes the use of prior year funds because you didn't need to. Other stations did. Look at that cash and capital, and you'll see how much each one of them needed to include in their budget in order to make this year's budget work. Now, let me repeat that. Stations had to prior year surpluses. It's right there. It's been there for months in order to make this year's budget work. It's like using your credit card to pay bills. It's like dipping into your savings. It's right there in these budgets. Now, and how much is it? It's right there in the budgets, $400,000. Now, WBAI on the going from the, what was that thing about, 325 to 487. What was the question?
Is there any way we can move the agenda?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to.
Well, I want to know these end-of-year numbers that is the topic we're on. You said they will change as a result of WBI's good drive. I calculate they should get about $105,000 better, assuming no further fundraising.
I never try to calculate on a phone call, Dave, what the result would be. You have to go look, and that's what I plan to do.
Let me ask this. These numbers that were calculated, they were calculated assuming that WBAI would just make its 325 call?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Correct. Now, if I could finish my report. Look, we're not going to agree. You think that it's 2 months? I don't agree. I think that there is a problem here. So, I'd like to move on.
Okay, I have Mark on the stack next, and then Teresa. Mark?
Yes. All right, I'm gonna try to keep this as brief as possible because I do think our stack is getting kind of top-heavy in terms of lengthy questions here. But I did have one quick thing on the PRA, Lonnie. As I recall last year, and I remember that Carol and others were concerned about requiring the 3%, and we turned to Brian and asked him what he felt, and he liked the new formula, but didn't they also include the revenue from the KU satellite?
Yeah,
wasn't that going to be...
Thank you, Mark, for bringing it up. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, that was going to the PRA. So in terms of revenue sources, they had two plans. One was to stick with 3%, and the other was to grow themselves from products, mail drops, and KU satellite revenue. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened, and
all
it's
right.
Working.
So to answer Baruti's question, that was the other thing I wanted to get in. Okay, now getting to the larger issue here of the whole rainy day and the line of credit thing, I did have a question about it. Let's say I decide that fiscally in my household I want to have $500,000 in the bank at all times, and that's my goal. And I have it in there because of things that may happen, emergencies, etc. And so I need those funds. Now, I have them in the bank, and I put them away. Now I'm doing my budget for the new year. I've already covered my $500,000. What it seems to be, and I think this is where some confusion is that when we're budgeting for this new fiscal year, I once again try to build up $500,000, but I already have it, so I don't need to have any reserve build up this year. I don't need a one-month allocation because I've got 1 month squirreled away. You see what I mean?
I understand that people feel that is what should where it should be. Yes, I understand that argument.
So if the policy is to have 1 month set aside, and I do already have it set aside, why am I budgeting to set it aside again?
Well,
If I say I'm never going to use it. Now, I know what you're saying is that, but you may in fact use it.
That's right, and you'll use it without any process whatsoever, and when you do use it, it'll be desperate and too late to do anything about it.
All right, well then, having said that, then this is the problem that I have. If we're saying that we are in an emergency situation, a series of rainy days, contemplating a possible line of credit in order to ease some of the financial cash flow problems, why can't we just simply trust that what happened last year will happen again this year? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it seems like every year we get to this period of low tide right at the end of the fiscal year. But if the weather is right and continues along the pattern that it does, high tide will come in October and we'll right ourselves. Isn't that right? Isn't that the same situation now? What's different now that requires an emergency measure?
Well, first of all, if you look at last year, we had far more cash available to us at September 30th. So what's different this year is we have $347,000 less cash available to us. And why? Well, you know why. You know, the station didn't raise the funds.
No, but, and so do you consider $347,000 sufficient to move into emergency mode, or is that something that can be made up? I mean, look, what we already just heard, that BAI has outperformed its expectation this summer. Why can't we just have that same faith that that will occur in 06 to make up 347?
Yeah, we could take it on faith. Patty and Baruti and the rest of the folks say, look, don't worry about this. It will work out. What would be prudent for us to do is that, okay, I am not going to take it on faith. Let me see your plan so that I can feel assured that if that makes some sense, because, Mark, you know, because if they are wrong, however well-intentioned they might be, and to say they're $400,000 wrong, their actual revenues are $400,000 less, as I was taking pains to point out, that is not just their problem after that point. That is a network problem, and you know what will happen. Unless you want to see WBAI close, unable to meet payroll, or start borrowing money on its own, whatever, every station, they have to pitch in to help out.